Blessed be the one, holy and living God.
Glory to God forever and ever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud and confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated to attend to the lessons.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, and waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered their chariots and chariot drivers. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. The Gospel of the Lord, Margaret pronounced. This morning's gospel is one of those that is hard to hear. How many times must I forgive someone? Peter asked. More times than you can count, answers Jesus. And then he tells us a story, and then he gives us a warning, and here we are. The story itself is one of contrasts. There are contrasts in power. There's a king and a slave. And then there are contrasts between the slave and another slave in terms of power, too. And there are contrasts in terms of debt. Vast sums that number in the billions
versus an equivalent of a few months' wages. And there are contrasts between mercy received and the terror of no mercy at all. That, I think, is the key contrast in this passage. Mark Davis, who writes a blog called Left Behind and Loving It, writing about this contrast, says that in a parable full of ridiculous proportions, this is the most ridiculous movement yet. This could never happen. It is, he says, almost like a bank that has been bailed out of billions of dollars worth of loans built on a failed scheme of sub-zero interest rates, turning around and foreclosing on a house someone has bought while taking advantage of those rates. And he says it would be like Christians presuming forgiveness for an imperial history that includes all manner of violence and heinous coercion, calling Muslims violent because of the actions of a small portion of Islamic extremists. It would be like a church member who has been forgiven all manner of sinfulness, turning to someone who is of a different cultural or political or theological persuasion and saying, "You don't belong here." Those could never happen, right? Now, this isn't the first time Jesus has told us of our need to be a forgiving people. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus teaches us what we call the Lord's Prayer, he ends by saying, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We have to pay attention to forgiveness. It has ultimate importance for us. Now, there are different kinds of forgiveness. First of all, we have to forgive ourselves for what we have done and not done to ourselves. And we also have to forgive ourselves for harm we have done to others. Forgiving ourselves for harming others brings us to the point of admitting to ourselves that we have harmed others. You have to be there before you can truly accept someone else's, whether they're human or divine, offer of forgiveness for you. And we also have to be able to forgive others for the harm they have done us. Those are just forgiveness on the individual level. Then you can add in forgiveness that has to happen within communities. This teaching that we read this morning, it's set within a series of teachings about how we are to treat one another within the community of the church. When we think about that, we realize that the number of times we are called to engage in forgiveness must be more times than we can count. Yeah. Now, most of us find forgiveness hard, and I think a lot of that has to do with confusing forgiveness with things it is not. It is not condoning wrong or acting as if what was harmful is not. It's not that, although many of us do that all the time. How often have you told someone who hurt your feelings, "Oh, it was no big deal. It doesn't matter"? There can be good reasons for that answer, very good reasons. And if it was no big deal, well, fine. However, if you are lying and your feelings were hurt and now you're angry, flat out denying those feelings only feeds resentment, which has nothing to do with forgiveness at all. Or we think tolerance of the intolerable is a requirement of Christian living. "Oh, he's beating you and your children. That's terrible. Forgive him and let him try again."
I thank God that we don't hear that sentence very much in the church anymore, but we still do hear it. Forgiveness does not carry an obligation to remain in harm's way or allow the harm of others to continue. In fact, I think for most of us, we can only begin to contemplate forgiveness when we are in a place of safety, whether it's physical or psychological. Before that, our attention has to be on other things. Jesus did not teach us that we should ignore evil and hope it will go away. He repeatedly called evil by name and fought it, and his death witnessed to the presence and power of evil, the power of death, in each one of us. It is through his resurrection that we learn that the power of death does not have the last word. In fact, forgiveness does. It is God's loving forgiveness of us that gives us permission to build a new future out of our past wrongdoings. So how do we do that? Make an intentional decision to move from participating in those cycles of violence and harm all around us into a new and different future. William Countryman, in his book Forgiven and Forgiving, lists four steps, which I think are pretty good. First, pray for those who harm you. That can be someone else, or it can be yourself. Sometimes the harm comes from a friend or someone we know regrets what they have done, and the prayers come easily. But there are other times when that's not the case, and then it can seem impossible to want anything but pain and destruction for another person or another group. If you can pray for someone's healing and growth, then do that. But if all you can do is pray that they get what they deserve, then do that. Just leave the details to God. As long as you can pray whatever for them, it holds them within your circle of concern. And slowly, slowly, as the prayers get easier and the prayers will get easier, not necessarily words, and then the anger and the hate will fade. Secondly, remember and think about the universality of God's forgiveness. All of us, we are all forgiven already. Christ has died for our sins. It's done. It's over. It's all gone. Reflecting on that overwhelming grace, we can begin to pray for God's help in learning this same amazing and powerful generosity. Thirdly, reflect on God's forgiveness of you, you in particular, and the effect that that has had on your life and the possibilities for transformation it has opened up for you. And the fourth step, pray for God to lead you into the future. Because forgiveness isn't about forgetting the past, it's about unchaining it from us and from others, that we might be set free. Forgiveness is an act of liberation and new beginning. It's walking through the Red Sea on dry land with walls of waves on our left and our right. Not yet into the promised land, but toward the promised land. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches that He says, many men have problems with their fathers, and they think when they have children, they'll be a different kind of father. But Han says, if they do nothing to forgive their father, they will end up behaving like their father. He says forgiveness is a necessary first step on a path to a new future. I think that's true. But do we have to forgive others or else? That's what Jesus said, isn't it? He warned us, he reminded us that we all have to stand before the judgment seat of God. But in the thunderous reversal of the king in that story Jesus told, do we hear anger only, or do we also hear a cry of sorrow? How we hear today's gospel lesson depends very much on our understanding of the nature of God, the nature of good news, which this story is, and the nature of human beings, and what we believe can actually happen. If Jesus tells us we are to forgive more times than we can count, can we believe that God might forgive us that many times too, as we slowly, slowly come to recognize that we who have been graced by the mercy of God cannot hold that mercy just for ourselves, as we learn that we can only keep it when we pass that mercy on to others.
Please stand and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace we pray to you, O God.
For all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth,
for Michael, our presiding bishop, and Megan, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God in the church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation.
This week, our prayers have been requested for the victims of massive flooding in Libya and earthquake in Morocco, for Dan C., Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, Mirtha C., Catherine, Sharon, and Jim C., David S., Jeanette H., and Michael L. I invite you to add names at this time, either silently or aloud. Who is on your hearts?
Hear us, O God.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, O God, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. O God, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
O God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are generous, O Lord of souls, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Beloved, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
For our announcements this morning, we have the sprinting co-senior warden.
Good morning. And Happy New Year, if you haven't figured out why we were doing all of the Rosh Hashanah-themed preludes. A few announcements I'd like to highlight. One is that next Sunday is homecoming or kickoff Sunday. And there are a whole bunch of activities that are planned for that. It's the week that Pamela comes back from her sabbatical. What that does is it makes this week Coin Toss Sunday. And I would like to thank Debbie for the wonderful leadership she has given the parish. Have a small gift for Debbie that Eric has. Yay. I have told anyone who would listen that my goal in being in charge during this time was to do a good enough job that Pamela did not return to a crater where the church used to be. And at the same time, to do a poor enough job that no one would ask me to do this again. So I think I've done pretty well on that. One of the things we are doing next Sunday is we're going to have the drawing for our raffle. There are tickets that will be available in the narthex after the service. So please drop by and drop some money. The money will go to the ministries of this church. So there is a formation offering coming up in October, which is going to be four Friday mornings. If I tried to explain it to you, you would understand it less well than if you just read what's in the bulletin. So I will refer you to that. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that we are coming up on St. Martin's 70th anniversary, and we will celebrate that, I guess, in November. Not to be outdone, but the center at St. Matthew's, which is an outreach center in Sacramento, is celebrating their 80th anniversary this Sunday. So, la-di-da. If they are doing some fundraising to support their ministry, if you would like to donate towards that, there is actually a matching grant, so you can double any money that you give to them. And you can either write a check to the center at St. Matthew's and include it in the plate, or you can send one directly yourself. The address is in the bulletin. And I lied when I said that this was the last thing. There's one more thing, which is that if you are on Zoom, and hello, people on Zoom, there will be a Zoom coffee hour after this service. Thank you.
Do we have any milestones, other milestones, or celebrations? Yes.
Janet and Rush Thompson have a new grandson.
Yay! Yay.
Great. 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 Any others?
I have one that was sent to me. Diane Bamforth will be celebrating her 70th birthday this coming week. So happy birthday, Diane. Yes.
Anybody else? All right. Let us say our prayer of thanksgiving for these celebrations. One more thing. Do we have any newcomers who are here this morning for the first time? Because we have a little baggie for you if you're here for the first time. Okay. Let us pray for these. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may go. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts grant your peace, which passes all understanding. Abide all days of their life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One bit of remembrance. If when we take communion, you will form two lines up the center aisle. If you would like to receive the wafer, which has been intincted, dipped in the wine, come to this side. If you would like to receive the wafer alone, and then to drink from the common cup, come to this side. We do have gluten-free wafers available, so if you will ask for those. So let us walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Maker of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Almighty God, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in Christ. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity and constancy and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray, Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que ofenden. No los caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuya es la poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amén. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Our disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. The
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Jesus, my son, do us impart.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of our Savior Jesus Christ. You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Savior. Amen. God's peace be with you. Christ's peace be with you. The Spirit's outpouring be with you, now and always. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.